I don't know what's going to take, what it's going to take to make me say enough is enough, where my rock bottom is. Because I also had clean time in 2 years at one point. I mean, hell, if not, if being a whole country away from your family and everything you know, by yourself, being raped out here, being traumatized in every way possible, if that's not enough, what is it? What's wrong with me?
All right, Caroline.
Yes.
Caroline, where are you from originally? Where did you grow up?
Southern New Jersey, Salem County.
And tell me about your family.
I grew up in farmland, South Jersey. I'm a huge farm. I have four older sisters, and the majority of my life, it was my mom and my sisters and I. The beginning of my life was my mom, my dad, and my sisters and I. My dad I lost him about 6 months ago, was an incredibly abusive alcoholic who, after started drinking, made it his top priority to make everybody else's life a living hell. I wish I could say that I was sad that he died, but I don't know that I am. And I think that makes me a horrible person, but he would start drinking, and by 9:30 every night, my sisters and I had to be locked in our bedrooms because he would come after us. So it didn't matter if it was summer, you know, spring break, Christmas break, whatever. We were in bed at 9:30 every night of our lives. Couldn't have any friends over because who sends their kids to the, you know, the alcoholic's house? So it was violent. It was incredibly violent. He would beat my mom. I mean, I've seen my parents, I've seen him stab my mom. I've seen him hit her over the frying pan, run her over. My mom is an incredibly strong person. She's both physically and mentally. And then when I was about eight, she finally got us out of there. So we spent about 3 years by ourselves, just her and us, and that was the best time of my life. And then she decided to remarry another alcoholic. So that was fun. And that's when we moved to the farm. The difference was that my stepfather was not physically abusive, he was mentally abusive, which I don't know that I almost would prefer the physical abuse, I think, than the mental abuse. So I was there with them until I was, and a good kid. I mean, I was self-governed. I went to school, graduated high school and college 2 years early. Then I had the same boyfriend from the time I was 14 until I was 21 when I married him, until I was 34 when we divorced. But at about 25, I was diagnosed with lupus and uterine cancer at the same time.
What kind of cancer?
Uterine cancer. Oh,
okay.
So it was in my ovaries as well, though. So I refused to have a hysterectomy because I wanted to have kids. You know, I was 3 years into being married. And I always just saw myself having a lot of kids. So I went through all kinds of surgeries and everything, and at 28, I actually had my first baby. So, multi-million-dollar baby, though, because all the advancements in modern technology. But then, I don't know what... because of the cancer, I was put on pain medicine, extreme high doses of pain medicine, and by the time I kept it kind of in check until I had my daughter, and then when I didn't have to worry about that and her anymore, I like went off the rails with pain medicine. I don't even know why. Because it was definitely wasn't, I stopped taking it while I was pregnant with her, but then after I had her, I went not only to my normal dose, but then I started abusing it, which didn't make sense to me because I thought that, you know, she was all I ever wanted. So like, I thought that didn't make any sense to me why I was doing that then. I still haven't figured out why actually. So I had her, started the addiction to pain medicine, and pain medicine became heroin, heroin became fentanyl. And that's where we sit now. So for now, I've added also crack cocaine to it. So, in the meantime, I had, after my divorce, I had started doing a lot of different things to keep my lifestyle the way that it was. I had sugar daddies. I was a dominatrix. I was, then I started robbing banks with It was a profile, but basically that means that I get 7 extra charges if I ever get caught. It's, people think unless you rob a bank with a gun, that's the next worst way to do it. Because you're not actually robbing the bank, you're robbing the person. I go in as a person.
So how would you pull this off?
Okay, I have a team. And actually, we have a whole organization. My team on the East Coast consists of me, and I have a driver and a lookout, and then the main guy, who I only ever laid eyes on once or twice. So I would get a I'd spend all day getting all of my credentials. I'd get IDs with a person's name, but my picture, I'd get I would get a profile which had all their information. I'd have to learn it. Frontwards, backwards, sideways, everything. I'd have to know them as well as they knew themselves. And then within a day or two of that, I'd get a call as to where I was going, and they'd come get me in the morning, and away we went. They would test me all the way in the car to make sure I knew what I was talking about and to make sure that I fit the part. I mean, I passed as an 84-year-old woman one time. Because I passed as an 84-year-old woman one time.
You did?
Yeah, because of all the makeup and the wig, the prosthetics, and all that stuff. Yeah. So I had to, you know, when they picked me up, I had to already look like the person. And then they, like I said, they would test me all the way in the car. And I had to pass, obviously. Then you have to go into the bank. And the first time into a bank, I thought I was going to throw up. I really did. I really thought I was going to throw up. And all you really do is you go up to the teller and you say, yeah, like a withdrawal slip. And you fill out the withdrawal slip and you hand it to them with your ID. It's not that simple, though, because you have to know the, you have to be able to pay attention to what the teller is doing. You know, you have to, if anything takes too long, if they seem to take too long, if they're asking too many questions. So the whole time you're thinking about all that, plus the whole time you're also going through in your head their birthday, their mother's maiden name, but you have to be able to look like you're not doing any of that. So you fill out the withdrawal slip, hand them the ID and the withdrawal slip, and then hopefully they go into the drawer and they take the money out and give it to you. And then if that's the case, then you go ahead and you do what's called double dipping, and you get a cashier's check as well for the same amount of money, so, or around the same amount of money. And that's if it all goes well. I mean, there's been times where the teller's taken the ID and the withdrawal slip into the back to talk to the manager. In that case, you politely excuse yourself and you get the hell out of there. But yeah, so I successfully got through 8 bank jobs.
What was the largest amount you were able to get?
$47,000. And that was until I got out of here. I was flown. The organization came across 3 big accounts, huge accounts. And we all got together and had to decide whether or not we wanted to break all the rules, get one last payday, and kind of get out of Dodge. Because they say you don't retire from bank robbing. It's not when you're going to get caught. It's not if you're going to get caught. It's when you're going to get caught. So I'd been feeling like I was pressing my luck with the past 2 or 3 jobs anyway. So I was in. I wanted the payday. So the rules are that you can't take over $10,000 out without it being reported. So we would never take the full 10 out. You take somewhere around 87, 89, 93, 100 out. And then you do it again with a cashier's check. But if with these accounts, really, the sky was the limit. If they had the money to be withdrawn, I mean, if the bank had the money to give us, it was, you know, you wrote that withdrawal slip out for just about anything. And then I had to go through all the forms and everything as well. So really testing to see how well I knew the knowledge. And there's 3, we were called soldiers, the ones who go into the banks. There's 3 of us who were doing this, who were brought out to California. And we basically drew straws to see who was going to go first, and I got the first job on Monday. So I did incredibly well on Monday, $157,000, knowing that, like I said, that it was breaking all the rules. And then Wednesday was the next job. Well, of course, I'm sitting flush with money at this time, right? And we'd all been in an Airbnb which we were getting a bigger Airbnb. So we all left the house together that morning. We were all driving together. The three different cars were together. Well, in the complex where the credit union was a T-Mobile. So instead of sitting and waiting, I said, you know, let me run into T-Mobile real quick because I want to get myself a new phone. And that trip to T-Mobile is the only reason I'm not doing around 35 years right now in jail, obviously.
Because everyone else got busted?
Because everybody else got busted. Yep. I came out of the T-Mobile store, and I'm looking at the information for the phone, the plan, and look up, and it is like the 4th of July across the parking lot. I mean, we're talking 12 police cars, other random vehicles, and then every member of my team just sitting there like this, just leaning back on police cars. And I was like, oh. So, ironically enough, though, I thought I'd never see any of them again. And strangely enough, I also, I trick and I boost now instead of that. And I had a date set up for me a couple weeks ago. And who in the hell meets me for this date besides the man who went to that second job? The other soldier who went to that second job has now paroled out.
He was your customer?
No, he was another soldier. Oh, he was my customer for the date, yes.
That's what I mean.
Yep. So he just said that was very interesting. Yes, you know, he's like, how the hell you do? You look fantastic, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, really? Because I was a wreck for about 6 months after that happened because I'd never been, I've been out of the country more than I've been in the country traveling. Never been to the West Coast. You know, everything I had to my name, as far as money and credentials and everything, was all in a lockbox that was bolted to the underseat of the car. So the money, with the exception of about $600, which I kept out for myself to spend fluidly, all the rest of that money was impounded along with the car for evidence. Mm. So
I... Was the motivation to get this money...
To...
to buy drugs?
That's what the majority would have been spent on. But the motivation was really to get out of that line of profession because I was playing with fire. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're always playing with fire, but by that point, I'd done 8 jobs in under a year. I was literally playing with fire. So, but the money was needed, or in my eyes, was needed for drugs, yeah. So,
do you feel like your addiction was something you inherited from your father?
I wish I could say, but I'm the only one of the 5 of us that has any addiction problems, and I'm the youngest. So I don't know, I'm sure it has something to do with it. And they say it does. They say it's a genetic thing. But
so you've lived on the streets?
On and off for the past, what's it been now? Say 35, so I was on the streets by 36. 637 for the best 10 years, about on and off, yeah.
In what cities?
I've lived in, obviously Salem in New Jersey. I lived in Wilmington in Delaware. I also lived in Lincoln in Delaware. I lived in Cecil County, Maryland. And then I lived in...
You miss Kensington?
Kensington, I miss it.
Did you not stay in there?
Kensington I was in the longest.
Oh, you were?
Okay. Yeah. Kensington was the last before I came out here. No, that's a lie. When I would work in the bank work, my home base was out of the Bronx in New York. But I was still back and forth between Kensington and the Bronx. When I was working, I was up there. When I wasn't working, I was down here. Because the luxury of that was that I got to pick and choose which jobs I would do. So,
What do you think of Skid Row in comparison to Kensington in Philly?
Okay, let me start off by saying I've known about Skid Row my entire life, from TV, whatnot. Like,
you've heard about it?
But I've never met anybody who's ever been here. I honestly thought that Skid Row was just a street. I thought it was one street. And when we first came out here, that was the first night we got here. That was the first stop we made, obviously because I needed some drugs, and we were on the way to the hotel that night. And I kept on asking, I'm like, okay, so where's Skid Row? They're like, you're on Skid Row. I'm like, but where is Skid Row? They're like, the whole place is Skid Row. I didn't really know that it was like a city within itself. But I thought it's much better than I thought it would be, to be honest. And in comparison to Kensington, it's much better than I thought it'd be.
Better in what ways?
Not as crime-ridden.
Really?
Don't get me wrong, it's infested with crime, but it's not as crime-ridden as I thought it would be. I don't know. I've seen pictures on TV. I guess there was a while shortly before I got here where there's a rash of like tents and everything being set on fire. And I remember that from TV, just seeing everything like ablaze. So I just thought it'd be more like that. Never did I think that, 14 months later, I'd be out walking the streets by myself at 4 o'clock in the morning, thinking nothing of it. I mean,
the weather's nicer, at least.
It is, but you guys have this strange thing where everybody says about how we have the four seasons. So you, it just all happens in one day. Like, especially around, like, the fall, you know, you'd have first thing in the morning, it'd be freezing cold, you know. Mm-hmm. So, the morning would be fall, and then the evening would be winter, and then spring and summer, basically. It would just all happen in one day. Because mm-hmm. when the temperature drops here, it drops drastically all of a sudden. So, I don't know. But it is prettier. It's not what I thought it would look like either, though. I thought it'd be more like, for some reason, I thought Skid Row was shortly off of a beach. Because all I know of California was Venice Beach and Skid Row, really. Yeah. So, I thought it was near Venice Beach.
No.
And I thought California was going to be a bunch of tree huggers wearing Daisy Dukes and roller skates.
Not quite.
And palm trees. That's what I thought. But I used to say that's not the case. The people here are nicer to your face, but you turn around, they're going to stab you in the back.
Right.
People say that everybody says that people from the East Coast, Philly especially, are assholes, and we are. We really are. But at least you know where we stand with you. We'll tell you if we don't like you. You know, here everybody actually, they like you, and then, you know, they turn around and talk about you. So, but I don't know. I'm surviving. I still want to go home, though.
You have one child?
I have two.
You have two?
Yeah. When I got a divorce, I was never supposed to be able to have kids naturally, obviously. They didn't think I'd have kids, period. I had to have IVF and everything with my daughter. My son, I got a divorce, and the very first time I was with him, I got pregnant with my son.
Hmm.
Yep. Go figure, right? But I neglected to say that all this comes after I was an RN. All this, like, my life up until I was diagnosed, I'm an RN. You know, I worked. We had money, house, you know, everything. Went through all through college, paid my husband's way through college. And this has all happened since then. It just all went to hell in a handbasket. I can't even tell you why to this day. I don't know what the spark was that lit everything on fire. But it just proceeded to keep on burning.
Do you still talk with your family?
I do. I'm still in touch with my family yet. They haven't, well, my mom and my one sister, put it that way. My mom won't give up on me. My sister won't give up on me. The rest of them have fucked me off a long time ago. Sorry. But yeah, they've written me off a long time ago. They tried the whole, my one sister's a psychologist, and she said, you know, if you go through 90 days in rehab and you stay clean for 90 days, I will let you rent the one house for $200 a month. I'll give you the Hummer, and I'll let you come work at the practice. But even if I did have an interest in doing that, I would never work under my sister anyway because she's evil. But
what do you think people like your family don't understand about addiction?
Anything. They don't understand anything. I don't know. My mom has begged me to get her to understand, but I don't know how to make somebody understand. She thinks that she failed. She keeps telling her it wasn't her. I mean, I was an adult, well into my adult years. How could she take that under? It's not like I was a teenager, you know? I had a life that I walked away from. That's what she should be proud of. Not this. She didn't choose this for me. And I feel so bad because her biggest fear is that I'm going to die out here and no one's going to know who I am and they're not going to be able to find me to bury me. Sorry. It just kills me that she thinks that this is her fault. Because it's so not. And I won't say it's not my fault because it is my fault. I don't prescribe to that whole it's a disease kind of thing. It's bullshit. My sisters had the same upbringing I did, and none of them chose this. So I think that's a cop. That whole it's a disease thing, I can't help it. I hate when people say that. It's so not the truth. Even if you do have a disease, there's still things you can do. You don't have to fall apart, literally, you know. There are plenty of people that live normal lives that had parents that were worse than mine. I don't know. Like I said, I can't say it. I just wish I knew. I wish I knew so I could not do it again. So in the past 10 years, less than that, I have been shot 7 times.
Yeah.
Literally, I got shot and as an innocent bystander in someone else's crime, I got shot 7 times, died 2 times on the way to the hospital, was in a coma for 10 days, and that still wasn't enough. I went right back at it, literally. I AMA'd myself in the hospital, went right back at it. I was arrested for the first time not quite 5 years ago, and I've been arrested 3 times a year since then. And that's including 1 year I spent in jail 2 years ago. This is literally all. I was like a good mom. I was like, I was doing everything I could to make my life great. And I don't know, I don't know if it was boredom or if it was being overwhelmed. I know it started with my divorce, and it started with like, the custody battles and shit like that is when those feelings all first started. But I don't know what it's going to take to make me say enough's enough, where my rock bottom is, because I also had clean time in 2 years at one point. I mean, hell, if being a whole country away from your family and everything you know, by yourself, being raped out here, being traumatized in every way possible, if that's not enough, what is it? What's wrong with me? I had such high standards for myself before. I never thought I'd eat out of a trash can. I never thought I'd be raped and not even think about telling the cops because I knew they wouldn't believe me. And now all that stuff is just common everyday stuff for me. I didn't think I'd be able to do that stuff. My one sister even says, I hate to say this, but I'm kind of proud of you because I never thought you'd last a day on the streets. You were so coddled. Because I had money when I was married. And everything I wanted, virtually. But.
Did you raise your kids at all?
I did. I was a good mom up until I fell apart. I was a really good mom, yeah. But. I am not okay for them right now. Certain point, couldn't even fight for them right with a good conscience anymore. And that's another thing that eats at me because, as much as I hate to say it, I am picking the drugs over them. Everything I went through to have them, I'm picking drugs over them. And now it's gotten to the point where it feels like the drugs are doing things, making me able to do this. And it's scary. It's like I almost can't see a life. My life has become the things that I have to live with in my head every day. It's become so bad that I worry that without the drugs, like, I wouldn't be able to do it. Without being numbed, I wouldn't be able to do it.
How old are you now?
46.
What's your biggest regret?
My kids. Not being here with my kids. not being the mom they deserve.
How old are they now?
18 and 8. We have wonderful dads, thank God. That's one thing I did do right. I hate when people badmouth their exes and everything. And, you know, belittle them as parents. It's like, you're the one who picked them, you know? What does it say about you? But that I did do right. My daughter's father is an amazing being. My son's dad is wonderful, too. And I thank God every day for them, for raising them. There's never a question about them going into the system or anything. They have, you know, and my family still sees them even without me being there. And I know my daughter's father makes sure that her and my son see each other. And then my mom sees them. I'm sorry, I'm such a mess. It's harder than I thought it would be. This is way harder than I thought it would be.
What are you afraid of now? What do you worry about?
I know I'll die out here. The good part is that that's actually one of the biggest reasons I want to go home. I want to go back to Philly. Because then at least they have a chance of finding me and knowing who I am. To know if I'm my family. Out here, I'm nobody. I have no one. I don't even have anybody I could give as an emergency contact. I don't even know people that keep phones, for Christ's sake. But, yeah. I feel like I'll die out here.
Caroline, let me ask you one last question. What would you say is the most important lesson you've learned in your life?
Don't try to be the strong one. If I'd spoke up a long time ago, maybe I could have gotten help before I did this to my life. I was too stoic and I tried to do it myself, and there's no doing it yourself. At first I did. I tried to speak up, and I asked for people to go to NA meetings, family NA meetings with me and everything like that, but and I couldn't be told anything, even though I was in my mid-30s, I still couldn't be told anything. And left to my own devices, this is what I did. And I must still have a soul in there somewhere, because this just killed me.
All right, Caroline, thank you so much for sharing your story.
Sorry. Thank you.